Well, here we are for our roundtable, and we're going to have a conversation today on type, broaching the dating topic again. And so we have got Tanera, Zach, and Quinn here. Hey, guys.
Hi. Hello.
All right. So type. This is funny because you know how like sometimes I approach people and we're like, hey, will you be on this roundtable? And like people are either gracious about being on it or, you know, they're a little bit leery. This is one of those that I think we think it can just be a fun topic, but when you delve into it, it's going to like start exposing probably a lot of stuff about ourselves that maybe we weren't quite sure of. Like Quinn is just scared right now. I can see it in his eyes. He's just like, he's like a deer, total deer in the headlights. So we're going to delve right into it. And I want to ask you guys, when you are asked that question, do you have a type when it comes to dating? Because we're all currently single here. Do you? And what is it? How would you describe it to someone? Like if someone comes up and they're like, I am legitimately going to go find potential people for you to date and you respect this person, you like them, and you're going to tell them what you're interested in. What is that?
That is a great question. Is somebody volunteering to do that for me? That'd be awesome.
They will after this show. You're
like,
going to start
all right,
getting emails.
Get people to work here. It's really interesting because when I first hear that, like that natural part of me is always going to first stop and say, okay, I want a guy who loves the Lord. I want a guy who's showing that he is active in church. Because for me, honestly, seeing a guy at church who is volunteering and he's giving back, that's really attractive. Mm-hmm. And so I'm probably going to start with some of those qualities first. But really, even too, if I bring it down, part of my type is really being attracted to men who are very confident, very secure, and can kind of lead and take charge. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I know I'm a very strong person and I kind of want a man who can put me in my place in a nice way. Yeah. But really, it's that aspect of I'm like, yeah, I want someone that I'm going to choose to submit to. And then as far as physical looks, nice broad shoulders are great. So okay. Tall, dark, and handsome, kind of the classic.
Okay.
But that's really where I'm at with my type.
Okay, good.
For me, I used to think that I had one specific type. The first two girls I dated were both half Asian, and you know, I was like, okay, I found my type. You know, I had one of my I didn't know that was my type until I started writing. I had my friend, and he was like, yeah, I think we found your type. I was like, oh, cool. I guess this is my type. But the last two girls I've dated have both been white. I mean, so on the physical appearance, apparently I'm an eclectic mix of, you know, okay, things like that. But I do think there's some like baseline things like Tanera was talking about of a woman who loves Jesus, is passionate about the Lord, and, you know, wants a family. That's important to me as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, no, for me, I kind of see a type as just that, like the initial attractors that help you determine whether or not you want to be interested in someone. So like for me, I just think like, yeah, if it's like visually, like if you see someone across the room that you've never met and you think, oh, she's a cutie, like that can be your type in a way. But then it can also just be like talking to people for a little bit and just hearing more about their backstory, like
true,
where they come from, their different qualities and traits and things like that, just to help you see like, okay, do I feel like these are compatible with who I am or not? And so, yeah, like I don't really know. I haven't really spent too much thought like brainstorming what my actual type is.
So think of an example, Quinn, because that's very interesting to me. Think of an example of where maybe you saw someone across a room and you're like, oh, they're super cute. And then you did have a conversation with them and either they became cuter or you're like, nope,
no,
absolutely not, based on what you just found out about them.
Yeah,
we're going to find someone for you yet by the end of this show.
This is the goal of this. Yeah,
no, people are
for
at task right
I
now.
One great example of this, I would definitely go back to college on, like, in the first day of class when you're still, like, meeting all the people in your class. Or, like, this was freshman year. And just kind of sitting down, like, I was kind of just getting my notebook out, like, getting ready for the class to start. And in walked this really cute girl. And she sits down somewhere else. And so I was thinking, wow, she's really attractive. I want to sit next to her next week. And so we like started talking a little bit, but I think that was like the part where she did fit my type a little bit. And then as like the next couple class periods went on and we started to talk, like she just was way too extroverted for me, where like she was so bubbly and hyper and just talking to everybody, being almost too nice, which I don't know if that's a bad thing, but like just
we can't
all over
win.
Just so many different like social groups and so many things like that, where I just didn't feel like I could really keep up. And that's where it started to fade away of like, yeah, I think she's attractive, but we wouldn't work out because I would be too exhausted.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting because I was trying to think over the guys that I've dated, and I think there's not one like guy where I could say physically there was a type necessarily. And I mean, I know I've dated guys who were and been attracted to guys who were taller, shorter, though I would say maybe taller as a rule because, you know, I'm like Scandinavian. It's not like, you know.
Yeah. I feel you on that.
I think that thing about women is just, it's real.
It's kind of real. True.
Yeah. And like you said, kind of the, you know, strong type. Anyway, but I would say where there's always been consistency is kind of similar. Tanera, I think we might be the same person because
it's
always about confidence. And it can play confidence and not even, I'm going to get a little shallower here in the sense of, because confidence plays out in a lot of good ways.
Right.
I'm going to get a little shallower and say success. So that could trend towards position, power, career, money, that kind of stuff for
ambition.
Ambition plays into a type for me. Yeah. And I think it does come back to, for good or for bad, my own personality and, being, you know, for good and for bad, a stronger personality in that sense. And sometimes, let's be honest, can be overbearing. Yeah, I think it's almost like an overcompensation or something for that. So I would say that's
yeah, I feel you on that. About the same.
Giving up all kinds of qualities on other levels in other categories, but that is probably not one of them that ever changes in that sense. So kind of getting back to that question, do you guys feel like in thinking about type, because we're all believers, do you feel shallow about that, or you just feel like it is what it is and that's just kind of how it trends out?
I know for me, I don't necessarily feel shallow in it for this purpose, that while I may look at a certain person and say, okay, I'm generally more attracted to that, I think at least at this level, I've gotten deeper with the qualities of who a person is, kind of like how Quinn was just sharing, that as you get to know someone, it can either make them more attractive or less attractive. So it's not like I may base all of my decision on just the physical appearance of someone, but really looking at, okay, my type can help me kind of walk through getting to know someone. But it doesn't stop me from getting to also build relationships and know people that aren't my type and then allowing attraction to grow from there.
Yeah. Okay. How about you guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's necessarily shallow or anything like that to have a type. And I don't think we really just decide what our type is going to be or do anything like that. It seems pretty natural to me. But I do think it's really important that we acknowledge the need to challenge our type, if you will. Like, I guess see past people, like if they don't initially meet that type, that shouldn't be a disqualifier for you. Or if they do seem like they're exactly your type, you shouldn't specifically go for them because they seem all that. Like you should be willing to, or like open to meeting like different people in all sorts of different categories. But it's okay to be initially attracted to different people for whatever reason you have.
Yeah, and I agree with both of these opinions. I don't necessarily think it's shallow because, you know, the whole phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I think on some level that is true. So if I don't find somebody attractive, I'm sure someone else will, you know. So I don't think it's shallow. I think it's kind of just normal.
Yeah. So what's weird about this is I feel like, and this is where I feel so bad because, and I know you guys are with me on this, so you better fess up. Someone has tried to set you up with someone or someone has asked you out and you're like, ugh. You're either like, I don't want to go out with that person, or you're like immediately, oh, I know this isn't going to work out, or I know this isn't. And I immediately make assumptions. I immediately go to worst case scenario with it because I'm just making some snap judgment of them for whatever reason. I mean, someone say amen on this for me.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Resounding amen.
So again, why is this? Because Quinn just said we need to be open to other types. So do you feel, have you ever gone out with someone that either someone recommended or just because they asked you out or whatever, and you just did it anyway, whether with fear, trepidation, dread, whatever. What was that like?
It was horrible. It was a nightmare. Yes, it did.
Was this like multiple times? Or
actually, yeah. I actually had a friend who set me up with her brother because she was like, no, you guys would be so great. Well, that kind of helped destroy a friendship.
Yeah, that's hard.
But it was interesting because I had no, in a sense, physical attraction to him, but yet she had spoken highly of him. So I said, you know what? Yeah, I'd love to meet him. Let's meet him and let's go on a date. Let's see what it's like. And like, just the more I got to know about him, the more I was like, okay, you're just not for me, if mm-hmm. I can say it that way. That as you get to know someone, you can sit there and say, man, it's not that you're not great. Kind of like how Quinn was expressing with this really extroverted girl, mm-hmm. that she's great, but she's not for him. And I really felt that way on this date, if I can put that in air quotes, that the more I got to know him, the more I was like, you're just not really for me. You're not just not my type, but since I know who I am and kind of the direction I'm headed, we don't really match up. Personalities weren't really clicking. And then I had another scenario where I actually went on a date with somebody I wasn't physically attracted to, but I was very much attracted to them as a person. And in the process of us getting to know each other, I mean, things were really good, but we eventually got to the point we decided it wasn't really going to continue further. And I think part of that for me was that I still struggled getting to a place of being physically attracted to him, even though I loved him as a person. And at the end of it, especially if you're going towards marriage, I think you really need both. You need to be attracted to the person for who they are, but also that physical attraction has to come into play as well.
Yeah, that's good.
For me, I think of the first girl I dated. We met because we were both on the – this was in high school. I was a senior in high school. And we met through our youth group. And at first, I wasn't super physically attracted to her. But the more I got to know her, you know, she was on the worship team. I was on the worship team. So we spent time together. And I figured she kind of liked me too. So, you know, as I got to know her, you know, I was like, actually, this girl is kind of cute, you know. And so we ended up dating for a while. It didn't work out in the end. But I think getting to know somebody – even if you're not initially physically attracted to them is okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of retweet what both of you guys just said, but
Artie.
Yeah, it's just been, there have been a couple of like similar situations of just like someone at least acting like they're into me a little bit and me thinking, oh, they're not, I don't picture this person as the type of person that I would be dating, and being like kind of just avoiding that situation. And then there have been a couple situations too, though, where like I would get set up with somebody or we just start hanging out a little bit. I don't think we'd necessarily go on actual dates, but just start hanging out more and just having those one-on-one coffees, I guess. And I definitely can say I've been pleasantly surprised with a lot of the situations of just, well, no, I don't think I really want to date you, but you are an amazing person. I definitely want to be friends. And I'm still friends with a lot of those girls today where just like there may not be a relationship coming from it, but they're still amazing people that I wouldn't have gained those friendships had I just gone with my head and just kind of get to know them better.
Yeah. Here's where I think we often shoot ourselves in the foot, because I know this has played out with me before. You know how when people say, like, you know, you're interested in someone and all of a sudden you're super nervous and you go, like, you try too hard and you just get weird and stuff. But then with the people that you're not interested in, you act totally normal. And of course, those people end up being interested in you because you're super normal and yourself. Okay, this has happened to me.
It's a big problem.
Yes.
So this has happened to me because I went to church with this guy who just like everything. Okay, he was younger than me, which isn't necessarily a problem. Okay, but everything else, super, super young in his faith, bless his heart, but just a lot of like weird beliefs about stuff, you know, all of that. But more so, personality wise, very clingy, very needy, very came across desperate, like was writing me notes all the time, sending me flowers all the time. And there was nothing, I mean, it was just very over the top. And that almost was like the opposite.
It's a little bit repelling there.
Please stay away.
It was repelling because then I'm like too much, too soon, too weird, too. And then it just got, you know, to the point where I was like, no, absolutely not. And so But he just thought, you know, to talk to me, because he actually finally did talk to me about it. And he's just like, you've always been just so friendly to me, and you always include me and stuff at church, and you always be. And I'm like,
because I don't like you.
I'm just being Christian.
If I liked you, I would be playing hard to get. No, that's terrible. No, but it was just so bad, because it's like, I want to be all those things. And that's what, you know, I want to be including and welcoming of people and stuff. But it's hard, because sometimes it produces the opposite effect. I don't know.
Yeah, well, when you're pretty as you are, Lisa, you can't just be nice.
That's very sweet of you.
That's really, yeah. No, I think that's really funny, because I'm sorry, I personally haven't had that problem. But I have a really
good
friend of mine.
I'll give you his email address.
There we go. Yeah. But I actually, this is really funny. I had a really good friend of mine who, he, bless his heart, he is really, really handsome. Poor guy. because he has this issue that he is a very much an extrovert and loving and outgoing, and he's just nice to everybody. But so many girls take it as, oh, are you interested? And they kind of go overboard it with him. And so, bless his heart, he has to deal with that. It's not fun. But I think it's interesting, coming from the standpoint of a person who, I've been on the end of having a crush on somebody, and then I was the nervous one, and I was the one that made it awkward. And so from my end, it was that, well, how can I, like, hold myself back, and how can I not act weird, and how do I be normal? And it's so funny how, like, I had to just start practicing, okay, what are your cues and your telltales? Yeah. And for me, a lot of times, it's, like, the physical touch. Like, I want to, like, touch their shoulder or their elbow, or just any chance to, like, make a physical connection. Yep. So I've started sticking my hands in my pockets when I'm around a guy I like. So I'm going to be like, nope, you're not touching anybody. You're going to be normal.
No touch zone.
No touching here.
Okay, so this is interesting. So I want to ask you guys about this, because a few weeks ago at Boundless, we published an article that was about being attracted. Now, this was written specifically to women, but it applies to guys too, about being attracted to the wrong type of guy. Okay. And it was, and her kind of hypothesis in this, and she had some research behind it. She also had an interesting conversation with an Uber driver, but you'll have to read the article for that. Was that we often are attracted to something that is going to, we think, meet a need from something we didn't receive when we were younger. So when people say they're attracted to their, you know, a more distant parent, the type of that reflects their more distant parent, or different needs that weren't met or whatever. Have you guys ever seen something in someone that you realize, that's probably not, you know, because we're all being spiritual here. We think we're looking for great qualities in people. They have to love Jesus and they have to be a theologian, whatever. Yeah, for sure. But just something that you're probably like, probably not the best. And I'll full disclosure. One of mine is that air of mystery, which could just be like inaccessibility. It could be like hiding some terrible secret. I mean, it's played out to different things, but almost that, like, if they're a hard person to get, then it's a challenge for me. And that's just never, ever been a good thing. Never worked out in my favor.
Yeah, I think, at least coming from, and I know this is still on the girl perspective, but one of my issues in dating has been I had struggled, like, really being attracted to passive men. One, because my dad is actually really quiet. He's like the peacemaker in the household. So he's very passive with things. And so I thought, because I'm such a strong person, I need somebody that can calm me down.
That's the opposites attract,
right?
Thing,
so
you're,
I
not
was
passive.
Like, oh, I need someone to bring me that. But I found that as I would date these men, I would get so frustrated to a point that I was like, I just can't be with you. You can't even make a decision. And I can't handle being with someone who won't make a decision. And so I found that that was actually really counterproductive in my world, because it just created such frustration and such arguments, because it was like, it got to a point that it was too much passivity. Mm-hmm. And so finding a balance between that aspect for me was where I was having to learn to grow.
For me, I guess I'm more introverted by nature, so I don't, you know, tend to lead conversations or talk a whole lot. So a couple times I found a girl who, you know, is very extroverted and loves to talk. And at the time I'm like, yes, this is great. I don't have to say anything.
I think
like,
this
she
might
can
have
just
been the
keep
same
talking.
Girl that Quinn found.
I know. That would be a little creepy. We'll have to talk later.
The same person.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh boy. But you know, as the relationship went on, I was like, well, I don't really necessarily like this because I can't share anything. You know, she's always sharing things and I don't respond with anything. So I think, like Tanya was talking about, a balance really important.
Yeah. That's good insight, because it really, I think a lot of times, even in friendships, we'll see that where we're wanting to compensate like our own, you know, personalities or inadequacies or whatever. It's like, oh, that seems so good. It's so attractive because it's something that we wish we had. And then you're like,
initially,
yeah,
and
there's
then
two sides to that coin for sure.
Right.
So, no, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think the key word that you guys both touched on was just balance as far as like that particular trait or characteristic may go, where too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. Or for me, I guess a situation where that may have popped up would just be, I guess there was another girl I went to school with who she just had a lot of sides to her, or just like different personalities for different settings and things like that, where she would be extremely respectful in the classroom setting and be talking to the professors respectfully, doing the homework, all that kind of stuff. And then in a church setting and just like friend group setting, we'd be reading through the Bible. She could quote scripture from memory, things like that, that were all just very attractive. But then there were also sides of just she enjoyed going to parties a lot and would drink a bit too much at times and things like that, where I would kind of just see that and I don't know if this is just my ego or stupidity, but like I would just think maybe I can be the fixer in these kinds of situations of just like there are a lot of strong like good things and that could justify seeing past the bad things. And I wouldn't say that should be a rule you should accept.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess there just comes that discretion and finding balance of just seeing what things are non-negotiables for you, what things are small like pet peeves but are tolerable, like things finding that kind of understanding.
Yeah, and you find that it really does shine the spotlight on a lot of your own, whether insecurities or, you know, weaknesses or whatever. And I know for guys it is that fixer person. They want to jump in and be a rescuer, or they want to be, so they'll take on the project girl who like needs, you know, or she's just a mess, you know. I'm like, why do I have all these friends who are like, you know, $100,000 in debt and all these guys want to like date them and take on their mess? And it's just like, it's just a challenge.
I have enough student loan debt. I'm good. No, thank you.
Zach saying no. He's got to deal with his
take
own
off the list.
That's good. Right. Okay, well, this is fun, you guys. We obviously just kind of you know, hit the tip of the iceberg on this, but all of you listening, we want you to weigh in on this. Hop over to the blog and weigh in. This is show 634. We want to hear your thoughts on this as well. So, you guys, this has been fun. Thanks for weighing in.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.